Good afternoon and welcome to the Boldness on 3CR 8:55 AM. My name is Rafael Caleb, the host and producer of The Boldness. The Boldness is ensuring that people with a disability have got a voice in the mainstream media to represent people with a disability in the community so that we can keep people informed and support them on their journeys. Today is the 18th of August, and we're talking about a really hot, important topic which affects a lot of people with a disability. It's about the NDIS, and today I have been joined by Farida Iqbal, who is part of the Protect Our NDIS Alliance. How are you doing today, Farida?
Today I'm doing okay, thank you.
Today you're doing okay. Right, and sort of like when you're doing okay today, let's take from the NDIS, National Disability Insurance Scheme. Are you at all concerned, or should people with a disability be concerned about what's happening with the National Disability Insurance Scheme?
I think concerned is an understatement. I think many, many people are afraid for their lives, and they have every reason to be. I think, yeah, a lot of the people who are on the NDIS actually depend on it for survival. And, yeah, when the funding is already quite precarious for a lot of people, and the funding is already not enough for many, many people, and they're a lot of people are only getting, barely getting by on the existing NDIS, people are more than concerned. And this is a message that the Protect the NDIS Alliance is really trying to, you know, get through to the public, is that these cuts, the legislation, if it is passed and if the cuts go through, people are going to die. And in fact, people have already died from the previous round of cuts to the NDIS. Yeah.
Yep, and kind of like, and that really, really is a big concern and a huge problem in the community. What exactly is that Protect Our NDIS Alliance?
Well, it's a grassroots campaign group across the country. Yeah, it's an alliance of lots of different groups in lots of different cities and rural towns even, and just ordinary disabled people and our allies who've just come together to organise rallies, organise like phone calling to politicians, organise just grassroots activism to fight the NDIS cuts. It's just ordinary people who've been thrown together just all of a sudden by the government, and we did not expect this, but we've never met each other before, but we've just been thrown together by these cuts that, you know, we have to come together and we have to fight this. And, that's who we are.
With the cuts to the NDIS, like, there's a flow-on effect. Like, the changes are expected to have a direct impact on daily life. And if this proposed bill is passed, it will make it harder for people with disabilities to get out of bed, attend appointments, stay connected to the community and live independently.
That's right. And more than that, a lot of people are going to struggle to eat and do even like basic things for survival, like eating, having a shower or having a bath. People will lose the ability to do that. Actually, many, many disabled people already can't do that because the existing NDIS is too restrictive. Yeah, I have long COVID and ME myself. And I know in the long COVID and ME community, most of us cannot access the NDIS, even though many, many of us, you know, struggle to do basic things like walk, eat, bathe, even talk. I'm lucky I can talk to you even.
What is ME?
Okay, so ME stands for myalgic encephalomyelitis. So a lot of the time people name it as chronic fatigue syndrome. However, the ME community is increasingly rejecting that label because fatigue, like that word fatigue, is just, it sounds quite minimizing from our point of view. It's not just fatigue. It's what actually happens is the mitochondria in the body, like the powerhouse of the cell that makes all our energy. And the body depends on for all of its functions. The mitochondria are injured throughout the body and we can't make energy. So it's not just being tired, it's actually our cells cannot make energy properly. So, yeah, and it... How that manifests in lots of different ways, because the body requires energy for all of its functions. So it can manifest as brain fog because the brain needs energy, or it can manifest as you can't get out of bed. Like literally many people with ME are bed bound. Or for me personally, I just had an extended period where I could not walk for 30 seconds without, you know, experiencing something like a hangover. if I were to walk for more than 30 seconds, I would be just in full body pain the next day. That's ME. And it's very, very common with long COVID. Yeah, about 50% of people with long COVID, I think, have ME. So, yeah, the COVID can trigger it. So, yeah, ME is becoming increasingly common due to the COVID pandemic. There's now hundreds of thousands more people who now have ME since 2020, like since the pandemic began. And actually this month is Severe ME Awareness Month. So, yeah, I think it's appropriate to talk about it now in relation to the NDIS.
That was very, very informative there, Farida. You mentioned that ME, people with the NDI, people have trouble accessing or been granted the NDIS with ME because it's what? How come?
Yeah, well, ME is, it is possible to get on the NDIS with ME. There are people who have been able to get on it that way, but it's very, very difficult because the government has actually hired people, like so-called experts on ME, for advice about how to exclude us from the NDIS. It's wild. The government, yeah, there was FOI, like Freedom of Information request made about this. And, yeah, it has transpired that the government hired Andrew Lloyd from the fatigue clinic at, I think, UNSW. Yeah, who is, like with ME, there's a lot of gaslighting from the medical profession. And, a lot of so-called experts do not take our condition seriously. And so... the government hired Andrew Lloyd for advice about ME and the NDIS, which, and this is a man who's notorious for, not taking ME seriously and, being a proponent of graded exercise therapy, which is a really, really harmful therapy. The idea of graded exercise therapy is that people with ME can improve with by gradually increasing exercise. But actually, when the mitochondria are injured, exercise actually damages the mitochondria further. So, graded exercise therapy has actually destroyed people. Like people who weren't previously bedbound, like they were able to have a bit of functioning, have become bedbound because of graded exercise therapy. And this is the man who the government chose to seek advice from about the NDIS. So, there's that. And also just, a lot of people with ME, you know, have a cognitive impairment, like euphemistically called brain fog. Like it's hard for people to think for more than like half an hour at a time. A lot of people even less than that. And also a lot of people with ME physically cannot look at a computer screen because, that is exhausting for them. That will make them go into a horror crash. Just the amount of paperwork that it takes to get on the NDIS, like how is someone who, cannot think for any length of time, cannot look at a computer screen. Like, how is someone with a severe cognitive impairment supposed to do all that paperwork? It's just impossible for a lot of us.
Now time for us to play some community service announcements, and then we'll continue talking with Farida Iqbal, who is one of the organisers of the Protect Our NDIS Alliance. We've just listened to two songs by young, upcoming Indigenous artist Elijah Augustine. His songs were Blackfella Way and After the Community Service Announced. We also to Woke Up at
7 a.m.
Welcome back to The Boldness on 3CR, and today is the 18th of August, and The Boldness is talking with Frieda Iqbal, one of the organisers of the Protect Our NDIS Alliance. So we've just been talking, Frieda, about ME, about the effect that it actually has on people's lives and the difficulty with the NDIS. One of the problem things like with applied to the NDIS is where people coming and observe generally, I think, that's on how it works, to assess on how much of the NDIS or what the effect of the disability has on people. And that could really vary from person to person. But the people who have actually on the NDIS at the moment, that if they would have a condition such as ME along with other disabilities, cutting the funding for the services they already need, it would make life even much more difficult, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And like I said, people are struggling to survive. Yeah, actually, I have a story from one person in our group with moderate to severe ME. He says that his funding has already been cut. Like, yeah, we're hearing heaps of stories, actually, from the disability community that people's funding is being cut already, even before the legislation has gone through. And, yeah, the impact of this funding cut is that he is struggling to eat and to drink and to bathe. So he had his plan review in April, and, yeah, the NDIA randomly decided to remove support for a dietitian and for meals. This is someone who, you know, physically can't eat solid food, right? And the NDIA just decided, oh, you don't need a dietitian. So this is someone who survives on medical nutrient drinks. And, yeah, and because of these funding cuts, he's had, like, consistent issues about filling shifts for, like, the support hours. Yeah, he's got a lot of complex physical support needs. Yeah, due to, yeah, not having enough, like, people to fill the support hours. Yeah, like, he's struggling to even get, like, the food and water and, can't bathe. And, yeah, because of this, his condition has deteriorated. He's malnourished and his muscle weakness is getting worse. Like, this person is, you know, surviving, getting by in the existing situation, but you can see how, yeah, a lot of people with, like, more severe ME than this even, and it can get more severe than this, like, that kind of funding cut will kill someone.
It certainly can. Is it, like, I've heard some terribly tragic stories about the NDIS. Like, for example, one on just my mind boggles at this, at different things about what people have actually gone through with the NDIS. Like, and I've heard of a person who is a member of the deaf community. They have been deaf since birth. The NDIS is asking them to prove every couple of years that they actually still are deaf. They literally have been deaf from the start of their life. There is no way around this one, and yet they actually have to go through and prove to a bureaucrat that, yes, it hasn't actually changed. Truly amazing.
Yeah, true. And I've heard stories of like that too. Like, I know a guy who's an amputee, and, yeah, he keeps being asked, has your condition improved? And he's like, well, my leg hasn't grown back. it's like that. And yeah, this shows how, you know, the existing NDIS already has so many problems. Cutting it further and the changes that are being made, like making it even worse, is going to be disastrous. Actually, what is needed is co-design, right? Like, the government needs to sit down with disabled people, and we need to have input into the design of the NDIS. If we have input into it, then we won't have these ridiculous problems of, you know, bureaucrats trying to phone deaf people repeatedly, or, yeah, trying to ask amputees to if their condition has improved, or, you know, trying to get deaf people to prove that they're repeatedly prove that they're deaf. We won't have all these ridiculous problems. We'll just have more efficiency, and frankly, it'll save money, I reckon, if disabled people can have input into improving the NDIS rather than the government just, you know, deciding to, yeah, just destroy all our support altogether.
Well, Farida, what would the Protect Our NDIS Alliance be the best outcomes for the Protect Our NDIS Alliance as far as the NDIS goes?
Well, in the immediate future, what we want is for the bill that's scheduled to go to Parliament on the 14th of August, we want that bill to just be scrapped, just get rid of it. And we want the government to properly consult with the disabled community about the NDIS, about how to reform the NDIS. And, yeah, we want co-design. That's what we want in the immediate future. But, yeah, in the long run, we need an we actually need the NDIS to be expanded, because the vast majority of disabled people who need the NDIS actually can't get on it. Like, I have a friend who's applied to get on the NDIS 7 times. Someone, yeah, with severe, like, serious support needs. And, yeah, like I said, the majority of people with long COVID and an ME who need the NDIS can't get it. So the NDIS actually needs to be expanded so that the people who need it can get it. And the government talks about there's not enough money. The government's always going on about money. But, yeah, actually, there is money out there. Like, the defence budget is there's always enough money for the defence, right? But there's never enough money for social services, according to the government's logic. And, we just don't accept that. Gas billionaires can be taxed, and, yeah, money can be cut from the defence budget to fund, yeah, basic human needs.
We are fast running out of time. What is the best way to contact the Protect Our NDIS Alliance?
Well, we have an Instagram account. It's at protectourndis.naam, so NAARM, like the Aboriginal word for this area. So, yeah, if people can find us on Instagram, then, yeah, they should be able to message us and, yeah, get in touch. We also have a national account that's just at protectourndis.
Thank you very much for your time, Farida, for joining me on this today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, thank you very much to Farida Iqbal, one of the organisers of the Protect Our NDIS Alliance, for joining us on The Boldness today and sharing their experiences and what needs to be done about stopping this bill, the cuts to the NDIS. And if you don't think the revolution has started, you've been listening to the wrong station. This is 3CR, Voice of the People. Let's play a song by Star Jambula. Thank you for joining us today, and keep listening to 3CR 855 AM.